Hi, this is Pamela Foland. Check out my new book, Megan the Pet Whisperer, available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Please visit my website, www.pamelafoland.com. You're listening to the Artist First Radio Network.
Listening to Authors First on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in this studio. Thanks, audience, for joining us from around the globe. And thank you, audience, for sharing our content with everyone you know on your social network sites. For more information about our guests, visit artistfirst.com and follow the links provided. This hour, it's my privilege to introduce Pamela Foland. She's the author of a very exciting series for those who enjoy and love their pets. And I'm sure there are quite a few pet lovers out there who will enjoy this series. Let's give a warm welcome to Pamela. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you for supporting the arts and joining us this hour. How did it all get started for you, Pamela?
I've enjoyed writing for years. I got the idea for this series, though, a little over 5 years ago when I rescued and bottle raised an abandoned literate kitten, which was the basis for the first book in my series, Megan's Munchkins, because I put myself in the teenager mind of and have 13-year-old Megan find and raise the kittens, just like I did.
What fun. You know, it's amazing how an idea can germinate and evolve into so many subtitles and directions for you. And Megan became the center focus that drove you to write this series.
Right.
And the first book in the series, was that The Pet Whisperer? Is that your latest?
That's the third book, but that was the one that was just released.
Yeah, and so it has continued to just amaze you, I imagine, Pamela, that so much could come from this little idea.
Yes, and it's all based on personal experience. I've worked at several different pet hotels and pet resorts in the past as a dog trainer, kennel attendant, front desk representative, so I've seen lots and lots of different pet behaviors.
And they all have such a beautiful personality.
They do. I only wish I kept a journal back then.
Well, you know, at least it's fiction and you can embellish.
Yes.
So that helps. Pamela, is it Foland? F-O-L-A-N-D?
Yes, Foland.
Okay. Pamela Foland joining us to discuss Megan's World Series and her third volume, Megan, the Pet Whisperer. Do you envision already how many volumes you'll have when you're finished?
I don't know how many volumes I'll have when the series finished.
Yeah.
I have approximately 12 books outlined right now for the series.
12 books. That is just amazing to me. Now, introduce the audience to the first two and how it moved forward to the third.
Well, in the first book, Megan's Munchkins, 13-year-old Megan Thompson finds an abandoned litter of one-day-old kittens. She knows her parents' answer to her pet request in the past has always been no, because she's not very responsible, but she's not your average 13-year-old girl either. She's more interested in having a pet of her own than keeping up with clothes or boys or anything like that. So she is determined to prove to her parents by raising what starts off to be raising the kittens in secret that she's able to handle the responsibility of the pet of raising her kittens.
You know, it's such a common experience for a 13-year-old. It's that peak period of life, right, where you really kids have a deeper appreciation for pets.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think most can remember and reflect back on the pet they had in their family when they were 13.
Oh, yes. It's that unconditional love of a pet that makes all children and adults really drawn to them.
And they have such short lifespans, typically, right? 12, 15 years, and then we lose that pet perhaps in our mid-20s, and we remember that pet in our youth. Was there some of that going on inside of you?
It was what really drove me to start writing and trying to get the books published is I had started this Megan's World series. I had started writing Megan's Munchkins in several different draft forms. I guess it's almost been 3 years ago. But never really, didn't know where I was taking it. Just it was an idea that I had along with several others. And it was the passing of my first dog that was truly mine that made me say, okay, I'm enjoying writing. I kind of used writing as a therapy to help grieve my loss. And it just has become more and more of a passion for me than a hobby.
Even in later in life when we can't have pets, we're happy to reflect back when we did.
Right.
You know, because obviously there are periods when you can't have the pet of your choice or perhaps any pet. Now, the book series, what age group have you found most receptive to the series?
I've had a person as young as 7 years old be able to read the series. I'm marketing it as a middle grade fiction book, meaning for ages 8 to 13 year old children, mostly girls, but I also have pet loving adults that will read the series and really, really enjoy it.
Well, I think Grandma and Grandpa would enjoy it.
Yes.
And that's nice to have a book series that covers a broad range of age and personal experience, and all of the heartwarming things about that relationship between a human and a pet and how that evolves and becomes such an important part of our daily remembrances.
Absolutely. And I kind of touch on in the second book, Megan the Pet Whisperer, the difference of taking care of your own pet that where you know 100% of their personality and daily habits to pet sitting for someone else's, and suddenly you're in charge of someone else's pets and they don't behave the same way when it's somebody new taking care of them. I've also done pet sitting for a number of years for a number of clients, and the owners may tell you to mix the food up a certain way, or that they do some, the dog does this at the same time every day. It never happens. So I put that anxiety of suddenly being responsible for the other person's pets into Megan and her fumbling through pet sitting for the first time to earn money so that she's allowed to keep her kittens.
How wonderful. And that makes the story all that more endearing because the characters that you portray are so heartwarming and believable and practical in what is happening in the story, you know? And
right.
there's a purpose that needs to be accomplished in order to enjoy and fully appreciate caring for and having a pet. And we want our children and everyone to know, you know, if you've ever had an animal that's been harmed in a car wreck or run over in some way, hey, what do? You run like it's a child, like it's your own child, and you get it to the veterinarian, and it may cost thousands of dollars, and you don't care. You just help me, help my friend.
Right.
And you've worked in these environments where you see them coming in, various pets. They're not all cats and dogs, right?
Right. The bird that's in the Pet Seeing Adventures, the second book in the Megan's World series, is based on an African gray parrot that was at one of the pet hotels that was a local client. She would bring in her dachshund and her bird for multiple weeks every year. And this bird had the same attitude as I put into the character of Taffy.
I mean, there are bird people who just love birds. They can't get enough of them. They're everywhere in every room. And then there are...
It amazes me how they can mimic the owner's voice so perfectly.
Oh, yeah. They know where the food comes from. And so, yeah, or cat lovers. You know, at one time, Artist First Radio, I think we had 7 cats. We might be down.
Oh my goodness.
We might be down to 4 now because they've gotten old in the last 20 years. But yeah, we were like that. We bring them in. They're lost. They're wounded. We get heal them. We feed them, and next thing you know, they're a part of the Artist First Radio family. And it's amazed me in the last 20 years how many have shared the meaning and importance of having a pet in their life as an author, a musician, and I really do like and find they have an important place everywhere in our lives. The website audience, if you're not at artistfirst.com, go to the website www, that's 3 of those, Megan's World Book Series.com. Is that correct, Pamela?
Yes.
So it's all one word, Megan's, MEGANS, World Book Series.com. And when you're there, you'll see the link to purchase the book right from Amazon, if you'd like to. And the price is $6.19. You get started right away. What about the Kindle? Is it available as a digital book?
It is. It's currently enrolled in the Kindle Direct Reading program, and it's also available for purchase at 99 cents.
How nice. A great way to become introduced to an author and to ensure you're fully satisfied with the content and quality of the writing before buying your hard copy or your paperback for $6.19. What a value. What a fun way to get your family involved in a story about a relationship that we have with our pets, and an illuminating way for you to reflect and remember how meaningful they were to you and how important they are to our families. I bet you every listener, well, nearly, has some pet story to tell, right?
Yes.
Whether it's tragic, I got a pet and they died right away, my goldfish, it didn't last long, I wanted it at the park. And so, I had a pet that was meaningful to me, slept with me, went everywhere with me for 15, 20 years of my life before they passed, right? So,
absolutely.
You know, having a nice series centered around Megan and her growth and her experience with a diverse number of animals makes it a really fun, touches just about everybody that way. What about wild animals?
Well, that was my first, Megan the Pet Whisperer is the first kind of wild animal that Megan encounters. The veterinarian in the series, Dr. Newton, is housing a capuchin monkey, Monty, that monkey pulled from the local zoo because it was fighting with the other monkeys. Well, Monty's very antisocial. He does his monkey's shrill scream when anyone other than Dr. Newton or Megan approach his cage. And so when Dr. Newton is called out of town, he asks Megan to watch the monkey, Monty, at the vet clinic for him because all of his staff is just terrified. Now, I've never actually handled a capuchin monkey myself in all the experience of the domestic animals I have, but it was always something I was fascinated by. So doing the research to put in the realistic diet and how they would behave in captivity was really, really fun for me. And I do try to keep the details in all of my Megan's World books, the details of the pet care and the pet behavior, true to life, hoping that it will help children learn. It takes a lot of work to have a pet and learn that the responsibility is not just a 1 or 2 day novelty. It's a 12 to 14 year commitment.
Well, there's the food, there's the water, there's the exercise, there's the temperament of the animal, and then that changes over time, right? So there's a lot of experience. You're learning typically right along with the pet.
Absolutely. And when you found a litter of 4 1-day-old kittens like I did, and you're eyedropper feeding them for the first 24 hours every hour to 2 hours, and then bottle feeding them every 4 hours, it's big time commitment.
Oh yeah.
But I still have all 4 of the kittens that I rescued and raised because I couldn't give them up after 8 weeks of bottle feeding them.
Yeah.
And that's what was fun of putting it into the character of Megan.
It's a commitment, but they're committed to you, too. And what you gain far exceeds what you've given. So it's the wonderful thing about the love that you can have, companionship that you have with our pets. You know, it's a celebrated phenomenon worldwide and ancient probably as man himself. And so Megan is allowed to live in this world where she can come in contact with a variety of animals and progress. You have a vision that there'll be lots of other opportunities for her to do that in her travels. When you think about your series and each book, is there a moral or plot that you try to stay on target with in that book? Or does it bounce and touch many different feelings and ideas?
Well, the main thread that I've wove through all 3 of the Megan's World books so far is the true amount of work and dedication it does take to have a pet. There's some different things that have come up as each book has progressed. In the first book, Megan's Munchkins, Megan learned more about honesty because she was hiding the litter of kittens from her parents, trying to prove that she was responsible and get that, okay, yes, you can have a pet, before she told them that she'd already found the pet she wanted. So she learned about honesty, but the honesty is carried over each book. She tries to improve and be more responsible and more honest. And in the third book of The Pet Whisperer, she's actually considering studying veterinary medicine.
Well, Pamela, I'm very proud that these 4 kittens were so influential because, after all, you did graduate from the University of Texas at Dallas and with a Bachelor of Science degree in biology and a minor in business. Come on. That's tremendous. And then your love of animals projected you into teaching. You're a dog trainer, and you're certified to teach pet first aid and CPR. So you've accumulated some academia behind your love of animals and interest in their welfare. And congratulations for all of your hard work. And thank you for what you do every day to help owners identify and connect with their pets. I think that has to be very rewarding and gratifying to see that owners can actually understand what their pets are trying to say and communicate to them in a way that they understand as well and feel rewarded, right?
Right. Thank you.
So how many clients do you attempt to take on in this endeavor? I mean, it has to be a pretty big job. Do you still live near the Dallas area?
Yes, I'm still located in North Dallas and have transitioned out of actually doing dog training to pursue the writing career.
Beautiful.
So,
beautiful. Well, you know, Dallas, wasn't that called a cow town?
Yes. I think Fort Worth is more.
Oh, Fort Worth. Sorry.
Town.
Sorry, yeah. Dallas. Sorry.
Okay.
But I know the beef is good there anyway, in the restaurants. So, yeah, Dallas is a fun place. And Fort Worth, hello. We have lots of listeners from Dallas and Fort Worth. And we're glad that you've tuned in to Authors First with Tony Kay in the studio. And now you're introduced to Megan's World Book Series.com. Pamela Foland, our guest this hour, graduate 2005 down there. So maybe you're an alumnus and you're learning for the first time that you have Pamela can help you with your animal and certainly help you have a more enjoyable time with your favorite pet. So get in touch with her and enjoy the series. Megan, the Pet Whisperer, the latest release in a series of three thus far, and I believe many more yet to come. So stay on path. Maybe one of the series will have Megan meets Cowtown. I don't know. Because people have pets, I mean, in all kinds of shapes and fashions. I mean, I remember hearing of a woman who had a pet pig, and the hog lived with her in the house. So just amazing what people can do with their animals. Raccoons, squirrels, come on. I mean, if an animal is approachable to a human and a human has the desire, all kinds of things can happen. So that's Megan's world, where anything can happen, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, do you teach at any local areas? Do you go to the public library and speak, or are you available for events if people wanted to have you come out and talk to them about the series and about their pets?
Yes, absolutely. I've done several book signings in the local area and have several more coming up in the coming weeks.
Yeah, so how did it go in McKinney, Texas?
Oh, that's a lot of fun to do the book signings there. It's an outdoor event where people were actually bringing their dogs as well as their children up to.
It's a big farmer's market.
It is.
And like you said, thousands of people can go there. And I believe that's a great way for authors to get out to their local public. Let people know, hey, here I am, and I have this book. And be amazed how people will flock to that, be happy to support a local writer, and build that fan base of getting the word out. So congratulations for attending the farmer's market. And I believe the 31st of this month of 2018, March 31st, you are going to be in Plano, Texas.
Yes, at a Pet Supply Plus pet store. They're having a pet adoption day, and I will be there with my books, talking to people and autographing books for them.
Yeah, well, hey, we love our listeners and our authors from the great state of Texas, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of them on, and we've been involved with the book fair in Houston, Texas, so it is a wonderful state for those authors that come from Texas, and they produce fabulous material. Always happy to have them on board. Megan's World Book Series, something you'll want in your library, and you could begin buying all three of them for, I think, around $20. Come on. And get your day started. And I always say, when you find a good book, buy 10. And bless as many people as you can with quality content. Your books are readable. They're well done. They're practical. They bring out all of the positive emotions you want to remember and think about when it comes to that special relationship. And centering around a 13-year-old Megan and carrying her through, what a great idea. I'm so proud of the way you've put the package together. It's a nice website. And as I stated, audience, megansworldbookseries.com. You can buy the books immediately and begin enjoying them. Certainly go to Facebook and Twitter and let people know about Megan's World Book Series. They won't be disappointed either. So what a good time. This has been for you, Pamela Folan. And Plano, Texas is not a very large city, is it? I don't know that much.
It's grown. It's definitely grown. That's where I grew up, and it's changed and continues to change all the time. But it's grown. I don't know the exact population now, but it's a good-sized city.
Oh, I don't know why. I had this vision of flat land and dust blowing over it with tumbleweeds, you know, kind of in the distance blowing by, and this lonely, you know, kind of whispering sound humming through
the
air.
No, there's not much farmland left anymore.
Yeah. It's grown. It's just like a boom town then. So, well, congratulations and welcome aboard. Megan's Munchkins, the latest, and no, that's not right. That was your first. That's the first. Munchkins is the first, right? And then the second, what was it called?
Megan's Pet Sitting Adventure.
Yeah, we didn't talk too much about that, but I know you did some research because you worked in pet hotels and you volunteered and done work with animals in different settings. So is that the backdrop then for the second book?
Yes, it's the realization of having the responsibility to care for another person's pet. And thinking, okay, these instructions are fairly simple, and then the owner disappearing and the pet behaving completely differently. And they always do. They just always do.
Well, this is a great moment for you to tell us about the personalities involved, because the more pets you have, then you can see they all have their own unique way.
Oh, absolutely. So in Megan's Pet Sitting Adventure, she is pet sitting for her neighbor, the Driscoll's three pets, Max, an over-exuberant 2-year-old chocolate lab that has a doggy door to go in and out as he pleases and loves eating and playing with his tennis ball. She's also sitting for Holly, a 12-year-old Burmese cat that really just wants to be left alone and sleep. Doesn't really like the over-exuberance of Max. And then Megan's also sitting for Taffy, a African gray parrot that is very, very friendly with her neighbor, Mrs. Driscoll, but really has an attitude and bites and snaps and gives Megan a pretty hard time when Megan's trying to open the cage door to change food and water out for her.
Yeah, well, the scent isn't there, and not used to a different hand coming into play, because the birds are very particular about the invasion of their space.
Absolutely, and this one can talk back, so... It made it fun to be writing.
Well, Megan is a great character to have throughout the series. You're having fun with her, and obviously she's aging too, right?
Yes.
So by book three, how old? 16?
She's still 13 in book three. Book four, Megan's birthday, which will come out July of this year, she's going to turn 14. So I've tried to stage the series to where I can get a good 10 or 11 books with Megan still staying not too far out of the age of my target audience for the 8 to 13-year-old readers especially. And once she does get to be 15, 16 years old, I will bring in another younger character, and the story will continue with Megan maybe going to veterinary school, but befriending this new young character that I bring back in, another 13-year-old.
You're listening to Authors First with Tony Kay and our special guest, Pamela Foland, discussing her series. We'll be back in a moment after a brief message. Stay tuned, everyone.
What if you had a less stressful, more loving relationship with your kids? What? Yes, it is possible if you learn how to apply the magic you will find in the online Ballantine Parenting Institute program created by Sharon Ballantine, author of The Art of Blissful Parenting. Head on over to SharonBallantine.com and check out her video and sign up for a free consult to learn more. You can find Sharon's book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or an independent bookseller near you. Here's to a more easeful relationship with your kids.
Hi, this is June Trope. Check out my new book, The Deadliest Sport, available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And please visit my website, JuneTrope.com. And you are listening to the Artist First Radio Network.
There Is a Reaper is the story of 5-year-old Christopher Aaron and his life-changing struggle with leukemia. Winner of both the Indy Bragg Medallion as well as the Reader's Favorite Silver Medal for Memoir, There Is a Reaper has more than 100 Amazon book reviews and a 5-star rating. It has been described as life-changing, spiritual, a must-read. Just released on Audible and iTunes, this memoir is also available in paperback and on Amazon Kindle for only 99 cents. Get your copy of this life-changing memoir today.
Hi, this is Angela Champ, author of It Depends, Employee Relations Case Studies for Human Resources Professionals and Students. Check out my book at www.angelachamp.com. And you are listening to the Artist First Radio Network.
While sailing a distance from shore, a riptide rocks your boat, comparable to the legitimate anguish that you will likely encounter when you have cared for and lost someone you love. The riptide catches you unaware and leaves you feeling shaken. In fact, if you're like many caregivers, you may find that you lack the proper avenues to safely express your grief. Reflections from the Soul was written to speak directly to you if you have cared for and lost someone you love. Please visit caregiversupportservices.org to order your copy today.
Hi, this is Pamela Foland. Check out my new book, Megan the Pet Whisperer, available at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Please visit my website, www.pamelafoland.com. You're listening to the Artist First Radio Network.
The Fat Man Gets Out of Bed is the latest book from Michael Lines, the award-winning author of There Is a Reaper. Featuring 13 original stories, this wide-ranging collection has everything. Forbidden love, gods versus demigods, weird invading aliens, sexy seductive artificial intelligence, and unusual passion between the living and the dead. All set amidst fantastic worlds of pain and loss and boundless joy. From the sublime to the macabre to the bittersweet, The Fat Man Gets Out of Bed will leave you breathless with laughter, brimming with tears, trembling with suspense. Available now on Amazon.com, Google Play, iTunes, Kobo, and fine e-tailers everywhere.
And you are listening to The Artist First. World Radio Network. Tony Kay in the studio, proud to have Pamela joining us this hour. How you doing, Pamela?
Good. How are you?
Well, you know, we're very blessed to have quality authors like you joining Artist First Radio every week, and we learn something new all the time. And I must confess, it's been a while since we've had an author so highly focused and astute and researched in the area of attending after pets and creating such a voluminous series. So it's just amazing to me as I look over your website and think about the project you've undertaken and the many directions that you can obviously go with the topic. So you're having fun with Megan. You've grown up with her, and so have some of the pets along the way. And then there are new ones being introduced for Megan in the series as you move forward. Book three, you've finished. Have you felt like you found your voice, that you are really getting into the groove of writing Megan's story?
Oh, definitely. I feel like each book that I've done since Megan's Munchkins, my writing has improved, the voice has become more consistent, and I've gotten better at keeping the little details that are in the series consistent.
There's a level of confidence that takes place. You know,
absolutely.
You feel more self-assured that you're doing the right thing with what you're writing. You don't think or worry so much about it.
Right.
What was the most difficult aspect of writing for you when you got started? Just the overwhelming amount of material?
No, actually, the storyline for Megan's Munchkins came very easily for me. I knew I wanted her to find the kittens at a day old and bottle raise them, and being a 13-year-old teenager that parents told her she can't have a pet, you're not responsible enough, I knew that she was going to hide them for a while from her parents trying to prove herself. Probably the hardest thing for me was then going back through the story and making the characters, whether it be Megan or her best friend Jill or her parents and all everyone involved in the story, multiple dimensional to where readers could relate to them.
Yeah, you know, that's always a challenge, right? You want them to be believable. You want people to say, I can identify with that character or even the pet.
Oh, absolutely.
And that amazes me how many people become their pets or vice versa. I'm not sure which. And you see them and they look just like, or what, you know, I don't know. It become, you know, as I said, our pets are our family and they become assimilated to the same styles and events and habits that we have. You know, they know when it's time to go to bed because we're going to bed. They know it's time to eat because we want to eat, you know, and they get right into our routine.
Yes, they pick up off of our energy.
And so to see that in a reaction, to read about it in your book series is highly enjoyable. You're getting lots of positive reviews on the book series, and the journey to writing, you've perfected your art. You're getting better at researching and understanding how much material you can put in without overburdening and tipping over, you know, becoming a how-to book or an expert source book. It's certainly not that, you know, but you are giving sound advice from real-life experiences.
Right. It's still a fun story read for a young person without being over the top teaching.
Well, now you have cats, so I don't imagine you ever had had a parrot, or did you?
No, I've only pet sat for them in the pet hotels.
So when you decide, hey, I'm going to have a African gray parrot in this book and feature it on my book cover, you had to learn something about that species.
I did. I didn't remember from watching the one African gray I was introduced to at the pet hotel. I didn't remember all the little intricacies of what went into taking care of it. I just remembered that the African gray would talk and mimic the owner's voice perfectly and bite me every time I tried to open the cage door.
Megan's...
Didn't matter if I had food in the other hand, it's still chomp.
She had quite the pet sitting adventure, and I know that those of you who have pets and have gone on vacation or left the home for an extended period always panic or wonder if your pets are being properly cared for, right? You know, did they go over? Are they getting their food? You know, you want to make sure that whoever is caring for the pet in your absence is doing what they should be doing. And what did Megan learn from this? What was her uptake? Did she discover that she needed to be more disciplined?
No, she was overly concerned about the pets wanting to do a good job to impress the Driscolls, wanting to prove once again to her parents that she was responsible and she could continue to care for her four kittens. But she also found that the pets don't behave the same for the owner. I mean, Taffy would let Mrs. Driscoll open the cage door and put food in and would climb up on her hand and her shoulders, but Megan goes to open the African gray's cage and gets bitten and has to figure out how to get Taffy distracted so that she can get the food and water appropriately in and out of her cage.
Well, and they fluff around. They can make a lot of noise, birds. But, you know, when they aren't happy with what's happening, they'll let you know about it.
Oh, yes. And Megan also has to figure out how to get Holly, the finicky Burmese cat, to eat because Mrs. Driscoll has told her, mix the wet and dry food together, and she'll eat it all up. Well, Megan found out that's not the case.
Yeah, they're stubborn until they get to I have to eat now, so it's not quite right, but I'll go ahead anyway, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I know how these pets are. They're very, very particular about it, and they follow you around until you get it right or you try to figure out what to do to make it right.
Right.
Now, were there other people involved in Megan's life? Did the parents get involved in her desire to care for these animals, and did they support it, or how did she work her schedule?
Yes, her parents saw the change in Megan across Megan's Munchkins, the first book, and so they, even though they're disappointed, I'm kind of giving it away here, but I guess because the series has continued, it'll be okay if they haven't read the book. But Megan, even though they're disappointed that Megan has lied to them and hidden the kittens, they lay down a set of rules for Megan and boundaries for Megan to be allowed to keep her kittens. One of them being that she has to pay for the medical bills, the food, the litter, and she also has to keep her grades up in school. And so that is shown in Megan's pet sitting adventure in the second book, that she's now much more upfront and honest when she's dealing with Mrs. Driscoll. She's overly concerned about taking good care of her neighbor's pets, and she's going home and going to her room, one, to be with her kittens, and two, to study so that her grades do not fall.
I'm so glad, and I'm sure the parents listening and grandparents listening are all happy to know that in book two, we're really going to bear down on taking responsibility for these pets. And that has to be reinforced, right? We don't want neglect, and we certainly don't want a pet to become the responsibility of someone who didn't want the pet to begin with, right? That's unfair.
Right, and that's part of why I'm wanting to teach the responsibility aspect of a pet and the commitment that it's not a week or 2 week summer vacation phase.
Yeah, and now I pass it off to mom and dad, and I don't care. I've moved on. Now I want a horse.
Right. It breaks my heart to see the pets turn back into a shelter with the little caption underneath. It was the child's, and they got bored because it got too big or it didn't play like they wanted, and it's just like, oh, just breaks my heart.
What's the best part of writing this series for you, Pamela? What do you enjoy the most?
I enjoy thinking about all the different types of pets and inventing the different characters to put into the pet's personality to have Megan encounter, because seeing all the different personalities in the pet hotels when I was a dog trainer and caring for them was a lot of fun.
Megan's worldbookseries.com, the website, Sunny's Legacy Publishing. Tell us about it.
That Sunny, it was my Shih Tzu, the first dog that was truly mine that I had for just over 9 years, and it was his passing in 2015 that really drove me to pursue a writing career. And so since I'd used writing as part of a way to help myself through that grief process, I decided when I decided to self-publish the books that I was going to name my publishing company in his honor.
Congratulations. Are you intending then to simply, at your publishing company, Sunny's Legacy Publishing, to offer your material, or are you entertaining other authors?
Right now, I am just doing my material, but I haven't closed off to doing other authors' material, possibly in the future.
Wonderful. Audience, when you visit the website, you'll also see links that will allow you to read a chapter, an excerpt from the book. So be sure to check those out if you have further interest in the type of writing style that our guest provides in the books. It has a broad reading range and audience availability. So for the young people in your life, don't hesitate to get them hooked on the book series. There's also a YouTube video that you've produced. You can select that link and watch the video, and that often helps the listener in their decision to buy a book or begin a new series. So congratulations on putting together your publishing company and your YouTube video and all the other links and the wonderful things you provide at your website. And Amazon is a great outlet. Many people have accounts with Amazon and easy to buy and know that your product will be delivered the way that you want. Thank you for joining us, Pamela. What a privilege to have you on the network. Before I let you go, is there any concluding remarks or anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to?
No, just thank you for having me. And I know my family's listening, but thank you for having me, and thank you to all the readers and followers that I've already met for my Megan's World series.
Congratulations, Pamela. Hey, we'll see you next time, okay?
Okay.
Stay tuned for more great programming on the Artist First Radio Network. If you enjoy podcasting, we have thousands of hours available, free on demand. Simply select the show links where you'll find archives, photographs, bios, and all of the key information needed to buy quality books. Thanks for listening to Artist First Radio.